There is a blood that cost a life. It paid my way. Death its price. Try to hide this precious blood that gave me life, but in 3 days he breathed again and he rose to stand in my upon the ground, so pour it out to cleanse my soul and let its liquid glory flow, because it lives to make
he's coming.
is coming back for you.
Sister Michelle, Brother Timothy, Gas, to come and bring your baby. Wait till y'all see this good-looking boy right here. I'm going to ask the grandparents to come. This is a man right here. You won't mistake him. He's good-looking, but he's manly. I love baby dedications because it's parents, grandparents acknowledging that a child is a gift from God. And dedicating a baby to the Lord does not save the baby, does not secure its salvation in eternity. But what it does is it's a symbol of giving this child back to God. And as Hannah did, you remember the story. She cried out for a child, and in those days to be barren was a great curse and a reproach. And she cried and she wept before the Lord, and the Bible said that so much so that they thought she was drunk. She got a hold of God. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do to get a hold of God. You got to press through the circumstances, the unbelief, all the things you're going through to touch Him. And she touched Him, and God gave her a child. And Brother Timothy and Sister Michelle has beautiful children, but God's given them another one. Man, isn't he a good-looking kid? Think you'll let me hold him? Micah. Oh, yeah. We're going to pray for this child, Micah Gass, today. We're going to pray that God would protect him from all the influences and the powers of hell. Any weapon formed against him would never prosper. God would lead this family in the paths of righteousness. But first, we're going to pray for this child. God would protect. Can you stretch your hands toward Micah? Father, in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus, that you would give Micah protection. Lord, that you would deal with his heart at an early age. Draw him to the bleeding side of Calvary, saving by the blood of the cross. Lord, I'm asking you to fill him with the Holy Ghost at a very young age and create a hunger and a thirst in his heart for the things of God. Lord, I pray you'd use him in the kingdom. Use him, Lord, as a minister, as a lay person, Lord, just as a devout Christian that would win others to Christ. I pray, oh God, that you would just do a work in his life. Help him, Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask you to protect him from all childhood diseases, all attacks of the enemy, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you because we know you're going to keep your angels around little Micah in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. At this time, I'm going to hand this child back into the arms, place him back into the arms of his mother and his father. Then we're going to pray over them. Can you stretch your hands toward the parents and grandparents? And let's believe God that he's going to give them wisdom, spiritual direction, strength. Join in with me. Father, Lord, for Brother Timothy and Sister Michelle, I'm asking you, oh God, that you would keep them in the safety of your hands. Let no weapon formed against this home prosper. I bind the enemy that would come against this marriage. In the name of Jesus, bring your divine protection. Give them Holy Ghost direction, divine wisdom, supernatural wisdom to guide this family. Lord, I pray that you would give them the heart to keep you first in all that they do, knowing that they train their children. Oh God, give them your strength. And for these grandparents, Lord, I'm asking you that you would continue to strengthen and empower grandparents right now. Lord, that they would continue to serve you with all their heart, their mind, their soul, their strength. that you would give them long life and health. Lord, that they could also be a great influence in the life of Micah. Lord, we thank you for this, and we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, choir. I want to announce before the choir leaves, we're going to have a special service tonight. Without playing the Super Bowl in the sanctuary, it's going to be a Holy Ghost service. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Brother Matt, do you watch a Super Bowl? Some of you may be against it. I've been taping it for 24, 25 years since I've been saved. Yeah, I'm going to watch it. But I sure ain't going to skip church to watch it. Amen. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church from age 5 to 11. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You put God first, you take care of God's business, God will take care of yours. Amen. You have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of James, chapter number 3. And then I'm going to be going to Psalms 141. So James, chapter number 3, and then Psalms, chapter 141. James, chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of a fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which is made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Psalms chapter number 141 and verse number 3. I'm going to take my text, my main thought, my title from this passage of Scripture. David says this, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. I'm going to preach to you on watch your mouth. Amen. Father, we thank you for the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the sweet Holy Ghost that's been given to us. Lord, we feel the spirit of love and life. And Lord, we even feel the spirit of conviction in this house. Oh God, you're good. Lord, the same Spirit's able to work all needs within the body. I pray, Lord, that you would work miracles in each and every heart and life. Let the Word of God become alive to us today. Lord, I ask you to anoint the lips that are preaching the Word and anoint every ear that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say to us. And Lord, we ask you these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. In Psalms chapter 141, verse number 3, David understood the power of words, and he understood it so much that he says this. He's basically, in essence, saying, Lord, keep a watch over the door of my lips, or help me to guard my mouth. Help me to set a police officer over my lips so I am cautious what I say. Oh, if you and I could pray the same prayer today, I'm going to tell you we might have a supernatural revival take place at Harvest Time Church. God wants us to guard our mouth. What David did, what did he mean by this? He was basically asking God, help me. I need your strength. I need your grace to be careful what I say. What does a guard do? Well, a guard does many things. But in one particular thing that he does is they open and shut gates at appropriate times. And we need something, the help of God, to help guard our mouth, to open and shut our mouth when it needs to be open and shut when it needs to be shut. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut. I'm preaching to myself today. I've got myself in more trouble with my mouth than I have anything else in my whole life. Well, listen, I've been in a lot of trouble before, but I can tell you nothing like when I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. Guarding the gate of our mouth. Watch your mouth. What does that guard do? He sets an appropriate time to open it and to close it. We got to know when to speak and when to keep quiet. Guarding the gate. Every one of us need to be extremely careful with every word that comes out of our mouth. The word of the Lord said that every idle word we're going to give an account of in the day of judgment. That means every word. I'm telling you, everything that comes out of your mouth. Listen, we've got to be careful even about the negative connotation when we're looking at things and we're looking at, it's so bad, it's so gloomy, and despair is everywhere. No. You need to get your eyes off the gloom and despair and look up. Jesus is still on the throne, and I can't sing a sad song. Why is that, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because my name is written in the Lamb's book of life today. I am washed in the blood. I have hope in eternal life. I don't have a sad song to sing. I do have something to rejoice about, and my mouth must bring forth praises and honor to the King. I'm not living a bad life. I have a good life, and Jesus is on the throne. Why is it that we must be very careful what we say? Because Proverbs makes it very clear in 18 and verse 21 that life and death are in the power of the tongue. How can it be that two things that are stark opposites can be in one object? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Both ability to kill and the ability to heal are in the power of the tongue. Every word that comes out of our mouth, everything that we say, listen, it first comes to the mind. Out of the abundance of a man's heart, the Bible said, his mouth speaketh. One of our problems, the main problem is we don't deal with it in the mind. And what happens is it goes from that, you let it conjure in that mind long enough, it's going to come out of that mouth. But listen, we better guard that mouth because life and death are in the power of the tongue. I've heard a lot of Christians say this, I'm just going to tell the truth because it's truth. I've preached the sermons on speaking up and letting our light shine and not being afraid to come against evil. Listen, there is a fine line. You have to speak up, but at the same time, you better guard what you say. Why? Because we are a representation of Christ, and the spirit in which we speak, we will be judged by. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I've heard people say the right thing in the wrong way with the wrong spirit, and it's wrong. Amen. You may be biblically right. You may be morally right. But if you have the wrong spirit, you're wrong. I've been wrong so many times. I could stand flat-footed and declare the word of God to individuals, one-on-one witnessing, especially in my early years. And I was 100% wrong because, you know, I didn't have that grace and that mercy coming out. And I had the wrong spirit. Listen, if you can preach to the sinner with a tear in your eye, that you're sad and that they're going to hell. I can tell you they'll respond to that. But if you're almost glad when you tell them the truth that they're going to hell, you're not going to get any kind of effectiveness out of that. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Can one of you young men drop the temp a little bit? Whoever came up with the statement, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words cannot ever hurt me, was either dumber than a box of rocks or about 6 years old. Words do hurt. Words hurt more than physical pain. I'm going to tell you, words can cut like a knife, and it can shape an individual. It can bring life. It can pull someone out. If a Holy Ghost-filled child of God speaks the life to someone that's down and out and hurting, it can infuse spiritual life. Amen? But if you, as a representation of Christ, you loosely speak negative things and hurtful things and cutting things, it can damage, it can bring down, and it can destroy them. We better be careful what we say. Our words are powerful. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but I'm going to tell you, words will destroy you. Words are powerful. So powerful, God used words to bring things into existence. I want you to think about this. In Genesis, God spoke things into existence. He didn't have to work and sweat all day long. No, he spoke things into existence. In Genesis chapter 1 in verse number 3, here's what he said. Let there be light. And there was light. I'm going to tell you that God uses the spoken word. My pastor used to say this. Jesus never touched the demon possessed. He never did. Find it in the word of God. He touched the sick or the oppressed physically, but with his spoken word, he cast out demons. Why? Because there's power in the spoken word. Jesus created this world with the spoken word. He brought life with the spoken word. But listen to me. In the same chapter, we see that the serpent, he came and he used the spoken word to tempt and to destroy and bring death. It was not only his speech that he used to bring death, but what he tempted about was about speech. He asked Eve in that garden, hath God really said that you're not to eat of every tree in the garden? He was attempting to tempt her and deceive her when it came to the spoken word. Listen, I'm going to say in this hour where deception is rampant across this nation, some folks that used to stand for right, they're no longer standing for right. And you can get confused and disillusioned about what's really right or wrong. What you need to do is stop listening to the news and social media and your favorite preacher on television and get back to the inerrant, infallible word of the Most High God. When you know the word, you know the truth will make you free. If you will hold to the word of God, you will not be deceived in this last hour. I don't care what man said. I don't care how intelligent he is. I don't care how big his church is, how influential he is. If it ain't lining up with the word of God, it's a lie out of hell. And that's what we got to get in our spirit in this hour. The serpent used the same word to tempt Eve in the garden. The serpent used his words and he tempted her. Listen to me today. God used the words to bring life. Satan used those words to bring death. Think about a surgeon. In a surgeon's hand, a scalpel can help preserve life, but in a criminal's hands, that same scalpel can bring death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. A wise doctor can use a syringe to promote healing in a sick patient, but a drug pusher can use the same syringe to bring death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Think about nuclear power and how beneficial it has been throughout the centuries or the decades. It can also power large ships. But nuclear power can also destroy cities and millions of people. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So it is with these things and many other things that you can use for good or bad. Our mouth can be used to help somebody and to strengthen somebody, but our mouth can be used to tear them down, to assault them, to get back at them. Come on, church, I'm telling you, we will be judged by our words. It's time that we ask the Lord, like David did, put a guard over my mouth. Help me, Holy Ghost. I need your grace to muzzle this old mouth. Watch your mouth. Amen. This preacher needs to watch his mouth. Oh, listen to me. We're real careful with the people that we love, and we're real careful with those that feel would leave our lives, but the ones we love the most, we can hurt the most. Can I get a witness in this house? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Our words have to be very, very chosen carefully. Just as we would be careful handling a loaded gun, we need to be careful handling a loaded mouth. Well, I'm a gun safety guy. I love guns. I just believe in our Second Amendment right. I am a gun-toting preacher. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no apologies right here, and that doesn't mean I don't have faith. Come on, church. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm very cautious handling a gun, and I have learned through the years that as a preacher of the gospel, I am not a butcher. I don't come in there with a butcher knife and just start chopping. No, I must come in with a razor-sharp knife, and that means I have to pray. I have to stay with the Word of God. Holy Ghost, anoint me not to come in with a butcher knife, but to come in with a razor sharp and make incisions. Why? Because one wrong cut can cause someone to bleed eternally. Just because you're an old-fashioned Pentecostal preacher or teacher doesn't give you the right to say whatever you want to say, however you want to say it. Preach the word, but do it in the right spirit and in the right way. Psalms 141 and 3, again, he says this. David said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. In other words, Lord, help me to watch my mouth. When used correctly, your mouth can save a life. I heard a story about a cowboy. He was driving down the road, and he had his dog right beside him, pulling a horse trailer. He's driving a little fast, and he makes a curve and hits that curve a little too fast, and he flips that truck in that trailer. And the dog is ejected. The man's ejected. The horse is on the side of the road. And a police officer comes on the scene, and he sees the horse. And the police officer, just because he is so tender-hearted, he wanted to put the horse out of his misery. The horse was suffering, so he put the horse out of his misery. He went up to the dog, and he looked at the dog, and he knew that the dog was not going to make it, so he put the dog out of its misery. He made his way over to the man, the cowboy, and the cowboy looked up, and he saw the smoke still coming out of the officer's pistol. The officer said, sir, how are you doing? He said, I've never been better, sir. Your greatest enemy could be your mouth. Oh, listen, we better be careful what we say. And in the age that comes upon you, that it comes on all of us, it helps us in time to be careful. We've learned some things. Listen, if you're at a certain age and you've been through the trials and the pain and the adversity and you ain't learned anything else, I can't help you today. But I'm going to tell you, when you learn to keep that mouth shut, to watch what you say, and it can bring death or it can bring life, it'll cause you to do some old-fashioned repenting and watching, because God wants us to be careful and cautious what we say and what we do. Your greatest enemy could be your mouth. Maybe you are where you are today because someone either spoke life to you or spoke death to you. There are people today that God used individuals to encourage them and tell them that they could do anything. Brother Taylor said that his mama convinced him as a boy, if somebody else can do it, you can do it. He said it didn't matter what it was. I just believed that I could do anything that anybody else could do. He tells a story about working on the pipeline. And he said the dozer operators made the most money. So he said whenever they asked who was a dozer operator, I raised my hand. He said, I figured if they can do it, I could do it. So there were eight. This is a true story. There were eight of them, and there were eight dozers lined up. And he said, okay, guys, get on the dozer and get after it. So he said, I got on that dozer, and he said, it took me forever to even crank it. And everybody's already down the runway. He said, I'm thinking, man, I got to figure this thing out. He finally cranked it up, and he started to try to move it forward, and the blade started going up, down, and sideways. And he looked over at the man that was over the job, and he gets in his truck, and he's heading his way. He said, I know that I'm fired for sure. He said, he pulled up there, and I killed the dozer. And he said, listen, sir, I ain't interested in the fancy stuff. Just make it straight. Hear me today. are where you are today because somebody believed in you. Or maybe you're discouraged and you're downcast because somebody didn't believe and they spoke negative things. Listen to me. There are both of those in this room and around the world today. If that's you, you can come out of that life today. Listen, if you have been a personal example of someone who has believed and someone's helped it by words of life, you need to be the one that speaks life to others. As we look at James and the chapter that is really zeroes in on the tongue. I'm going to skip over to chapter 1, but he says this, and I want to remind you before I start this chapter. James said, is there any religious among you? If I was to raise my hand right now and I said, is there any religious among you? And I'm talking about Christians. You know, are there any Christians in the house? Everybody in here would raise their hand. He says in James chapter 1, is there any religious among you? He that bridleth not his tongue deceiveth his own heart, and his religion is in vain. If you can't bridle that tongue, listen, but I'm a tither, Pastor Gregory. I come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Listen, that's wonderful. Praise God. That shows wonderful faithfulness. But I'm going to tell you, James said, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. As we look at this chapter in James chapter 3 and verse 1, James says this, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that they shall receive the greater damnation. What does this mean? Master is interpreted teacher or preacher. Let there not be many preachers or teachers out there, because they will receive the greater damnation. What did he mean by that? He means that a preacher or teacher that is not aligning their speech with the Word of God, with the right spirit, and is a right representation of Christ, will receive the greater damnation. That right there does away with once saved, always saved. Listen, you can be a preacher. Paul said he could preach to others and still become a castaway. How could the greatest man besides Christ and John the Baptist become a castaway? Why? Because he took the gifts, he preached to others, but somewhere along the way, he stopped living the way he should live. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I must watch our mouth. We will receive the greater damnation. And what if you're a teacher when it comes in the home? You're teaching your children. It's not just the preacher and teacher, but we all must watch our mouth, especially in regard to aligning with God's words underneath the comprehensive rule of God. Social media today makes it too easy to offer your opinion. I could preach right here for about 30 minutes, but I'm going to just tap it just for a minute. I believe that we are to stand up for the gospel. I believe that we are to stand up for righteousness and truth. But I have seen so many Christians on social media, in different facets of social media, be a bad testimony because they get in an argument with other Christians or with the world. And you can tell, listen, I can't hear their voice or hear their tone, but I'm thinking, man, they're as mean as the sinner is. Listen, it's time that you and I be careful what we say. Social media makes it too easy. Even if it is written are posted online, it is a product of the mouth. Be careful. Be careful. There was a young man that called me that I went to high school with, and it was not very long ago, and he began to tell me about how he's still preaching the gospel, but he's still drinking alcohol. And I almost laughed, but it was too sad to laugh. And I told this young man, I said, listen, brother, In Galatians to the church, not to the sinner. Paul writes it in Corinthians to the church. He said that all drunkards they're either going to have their part in the lake of fire, liars, but no drunkard is going to enter in the kingdom of God. How does it get any clearer than that? He said, well, I know that. And then he just started talking about his bar hopping again. I said, listen, brother. Oh, and he began to tell me about his brother who looked up to him that's now an atheist. He's still preaching to him. I wonder why he might be an atheist. Why? Because we are teachers and preachers, but we are not careful what we say and what we do. We had better be careful today or we're going to receive the greater damnation. After James' initial warning about preachers and teachers, he continues his lesson about our lips by establishing three unique points regarding the mouth. Number one, he deals with the mouth in relationship to directing the life. James chapter 3 and verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits, listen to this, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of a fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor lists. Listen to what he says. He said, if you don't offend in word, the same as a perfect man. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement, because every one of us make mistakes. Amen? This preacher makes a lot of mistakes, but he said, if you can get to the point where you don't offend in word, the same as a perfect man. I can tell you, because when your words get right, your thinking has gotten right, and your actions get right. I can tell you what the core of that is. But a man that doesn't, or a woman that doesn't offend in word, they are perfect. Do we have any perfect people in the house today? He puts bits, or we put bits in horses' mouths. You ever rode a horse? I'm scared to death of horses. I'm a whole lot more scared of horses than I am any kind of four-wheeler motorcycle or anything like that, unless you're doing like 360s up in the air with a motorcycle. But why is that? Because a 1,500-pound or more horse, you just never know what they're going to do. But whenever you put a bit in its mouth, as far as I know with that bit, you could ask Brother Scott and Sister Lori more about this, but you just pull those reins to the left, and that bit, whatever it does, it causes that 3-inch or 4-inch bit, it causes that horse to move to the left or to the right, or if you want it to stop, you pull back. That's pretty powerful. A little bitty bit controlling a 1,500-pound powerful beast. Think about it. Or look at the example of the ship with a little helm, a little bitty helm. I also heard a story about a naval ship that was heading towards another ship. And all of a sudden, one got on the radio to the naval ship and said, you are heading my direction. Turn south at once. The naval captain said, hey, just a minute. This is the United States Navy. You turn south. They went back and forth several times. And the last time that the man that was not in the Navy ship said, listen, we are the lighthouse. I am telling you to turn south right now. He's the lighthouse, church. We got to align ourselves with him. He's not going to change to suit us or to go along with our programs. No, he is the program. And what we've got to do is align ourselves with the word of God. He's Lord of everything. I'm not calling the shots. He is calling the shots. And he wants to control our mouth. Listen to me. The tongue is so powerful. It can literally steer the course of your life, just like a bit can move a big, gigantic horse, a powerful horse, and a very small helm of a ship can guide that whole ship. Your mouth can guide your whole future, your life. Listen, a lot of people destroy marriages because they can't keep that mouth shut. A lot of folks, they get fired from their job because of one outburst at an employee or a customer or their boss, because they could not control their mouth. Your tongue is so powerful, church. Yes, and some have ruined many relationships with immediate family members, brothers, sisters, moms, and dads. Some have ruined careers because we could not keep our mouth shut. Listen, your tongue will direct your whole life. If you can begin to think back to things that you have done and you follow the steps, oftentimes you'll follow the steps to where you are now by a bit that did not work in your life, by a rudder that was not in action in your life, and your tongue did control you instead of you controlling it. And I'm going to tell you, church, it will affect you for a long time and possibly into eternity. Number two, he deals with a damaged life that the tongue can bring. James 3 and 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, just a little bitty member of the body. It boasteth great things. Behold, how great a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Think about that. the tongue, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It talks about, I'm talking to you about a damaged life today. You think about forest fires. Many forest fires in California have been started by somebody flipping a cigarette butt out the window, a little spark. Thousands and thousands of acres and homes, and in many cases, lives have been lost because of a little spark. Think about the Chicago fires of 1871. They said, here's how the Chicago fires that killed over 300 people, left 100,000 people homeless, destroyed miles and miles of buildings. Here's how it started. A cow in a barn kicked over a lantern. A little fire. Just a little word, just a little statement. It doesn't have to be a long paragraph. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of phrases put together. Just a little spark, just a little negativity, just some things you say that you shouldn't say. I'm warning you, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It sets on fire the course of nature. And James said that tongue is set on fire of hell. We say whatever we want to say when we want to say it. Warning, my friend, I'm going to tell you, we'll be judged by the words of our mouth. Be careful what you say. Brother Matt, do you believe in the First Amendment right of free speech? Woo, man, I sure do. I sure do believe in First Amendment rights. I believe in Second Amendment rights. I believe in all the Constitution. I'm going to say what I want to say. That's my First Amendment right. Hear me, church. God's law supersedes American law. Do you hear what I'm saying today? I said God's law supersedes. Who gives us the right to say whatever we want to say, whenever we want to say it? Maybe that world out there, but the church must be governed by the word and by the spirit. Oh Lord, set a guard in front of my mouth. Help me to police what I say. Help me, Holy Ghost, to watch my mouth. Think about a president that just openly said, we're starting war with Canada. Would somebody do that? Hey, you never know. Think about how powerful those words are. Just the words that are spoken can spark an outrage and could cause Canada to begin to point their missiles in this direction. It may even cause them to release a missile. Amen? I'm telling you, words are powerful. How can we start one little disagreement with a brother or sister or a family member and end up refusing to talk to them for years? It happens all the time. It's in this house right now. Give me a little bit of volume in the house. It's in this house right now. There are family members that some of you haven't talked to for years. And in times, you won't even remember what was said, what that spark was that caused that forest fire to begin to burn. I know people who understand and they remember what was said, and if they really begin to go back, I'm going to tell you, they begin to look at what was said and they wonder why they got so mad. Listen to me. Satan will take that little spark. He intensifies the fire by pouring the fuel on your speech. So what you say becomes bigger than what you ever intended on it to mean or what you said. The enemy will place gasoline on it. I try to be very careful when I counsel with people. And there are times that I have to say things that are very hard. I had one individual that came to another individual that said, I just wish Brother Matt would bust my hide. Just like my old preacher used to do years ago. And it got back to me. And I said, well, maybe that'll work on him. You know, everybody is affected by different ways, you know. You deal with everybody differently. And I said, well, she wants me to bust her hide, so I'll bring her and her husband in. We'll bust her hide. Well, it didn't work. They got to thinking about, how dare him say that? Well, I just said the truth, you know, but it doesn't matter. You know, the enemy will take that spark, that little flame, and he'll pour some fuel on it, and then you'll start mulling over it. How dare that lady say that to me? Why did he say that? Why did she say that? Who do they think they are? Do they think they're holier than me? They need to get something out of their eye before they try to get it out of mine. And then that thing just begins to fume, and you mull over it, and before long, done. You are separated. Listen, church, we can't be ignorant to the devil's devices. That's his plan. Don't allow the enemy to get in your mind by simple words someone else says, and be very careful what you say. The third thing, on the mouth, your words will determine your life. After James discusses the power of your mouth to direct you and how it can cause damage, he dives into the power of the mouth to determine life. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which is made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things not ought to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. James reminds us that our mouths and our tongue can do something that not even nature can do. A sweet fountain, it only produces sweet water. A bitter fountain only produces bitter water. A fig tree produces figs. I've never seen apples grow on a fig tree. Amen? You know, it's just that way. That's nature in itself. And in nature, things produce only what they were designed to produce. That's the way nature works, but not the tongue. One minute we're saying things and we're blessing God. The next minute we get in the car and we start having somebody for lunch. There are people that have been in the church before. They speak in tongues and worship and sing the songs of Zion. But then when they get mad, they use profanity. James said, sweet water and bitter water cannot flow out of the same fountain. Listen, I can tell you what the problem is. Your cusser didn't get saved. You need to go back to that altar. And if you're a brand new Christian, get sanctified. Sometimes a brand new Christian, they're going to make mistakes. But I can tell you, they'll repent of that. They'll turn from that sin. And there will be a new nature in time. But when you get saved, you're a new creature. But there is a progression there. Come on, church. I'm telling you, we cannot produce apples and figs. We must produce the life of God. What's the problem? We ain't been watching what we say. We say what we mean, and we mean what we say, and we say it when we want it, how we want it, to whoever we want it. You better be careful, and I better be careful. We better be careful what we say. The tongue has ability to contradict itself. James says these things ought not to be. Someone come to the piano this morning. We have the ability to speak life or death. Brother James Martin, he's got how many children? 10 children. Years ago, I asked him about raising his kids, and he said, I speak life to them. When we get on to them, we deal with them about what they need to be dealt with, but we speak life into them. And he said, we see God's hand in their life, and we speak it constantly. You're going to be a great man of God. You're going to be a great father. I tell my son that all the time. He's 13 years old. I say, you're going to be an awesome daddy. Sometimes I need a balance when I get on to him and give him a little bit more positive. Amen. The sandwich effect, a little positive, a little negative, and then some positive. Amen. Sometimes dad just goes straight. It gets right down to where the rubber meets the road. But he speaks life into his children. And when you think about speaking life into someone and how powerful words are, you know, there are words are so powerful. I can remember positive things that were said to me that have affected my life. My pastor would say things to me as a young preacher. I know I'm not saying he's lying. He was loving me. He told me when I was a young preacher, he said, you're the best camp meeting preacher in Tyler. Boy, that was not true. But I'll never forget that. Well, I could go 6 months on a good compliment. But I can also remember times, and I try not to remember things that people have said in the past to hurt me. Some of you have that. You need to let it go. But understanding, oftentimes the people who have thick skin, I tell our school ministry students this, those who have thick skin and nothing bothers them, they're more challenged in this area. Because they're wondering, if it don't bother me, why should it bother you? Get over it. They're challenged. They're going to be used in the ministry. That's awesome. And you're supposed to, I mean, it's good to have thick skin in the ministry, but oftentimes if you haven't been a recipient of pain and really hurt real bad and sensitive, you don't know how to be sensitive to other people. If you'll get sanctified, now if that person that's real thick skin can get balanced, and that person that is real sensitive can get balanced, you're in the right place. We must be very careful what we say. I also read another story about a Marine in Vietnam. It's a true story. He received many medals in war. He's a great warrior. In battle in Vietnam, he rescued 8 men in a heated battle. They were all wounded, and he put them on his shoulder one at a time and brought them to safety. Someone asked him, many ask him, but in one recorded time, they ask him, what was it that gave you the courage? What was it that gave you the courage to do what you did? Here's his response. He said, before I left to go in battle, my dad took my hands. He said to me, he first prayed, and he said, God, I'm asking you to protect my son. Then he looked at his son and said, son, you will come back home. You will be back home. He said, my daddy's never lied to me. So I just believed that if I went in the line of fire, I'm still coming home. It's powerful. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. What if he didn't? Does it matter? Words that brought life to him were so powerful that it caused him to risk his life for others. Can we stand? In the ministry, Paul said, let there not be very many teachers or preachers among you, for they'll receive the greater damnation. I don't always hit it right on the nail on the head, but every time I'm about to respond, I'm processing. Is this right? Is this the right way? There are times I have to take authority over issues, but I better love them people. I better approach with humility. If I offend one of the little ones that believe in Christ, it'd been better that a millstone hung about this neck. Somebody take me out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and cast me into that water. That's what, in essence, is what Christ was saying. It'd been better for you to be cast in the depth of the sea. We need to be careful. I'm about to give this altar call, but I must touch this one more time. And that is this. I know some good, godly, Holy Ghost-filled Christians that are saying things they shouldn't be saying. They say whatever they want to say. You better make sure it lines. I don't care how bad you've been hurt. I don't care how bad they wounded you in the past. You have no right to say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Or I'm never going to do. You better be careful. Other times we stand up for truth. We're standing up for righteousness. But we never give anybody a moment to speak, and we turn them off immediately. If we had the right spirit, if we had the spirit of love, if we'd be careful what we say, get in the prayer closet, get in an anointing. Listen, your all of your facts and figures and your human capabilities and human ingenuity ain't going to change anyone. It's still the anointing that breaks the yoke of the enemy. That's the one. That's what works. What we need to do is get back to loving people the way Christ loved people. Stand up for truth. But watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Be careful what you say. Should you put anything out there for everyone to see? No. I'm teaching the school of ministry and our youth this about social media. The perception. What's not what I meant doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you meant. All they know is you are one mean hombre. You're meaner than a rattlesnake. Perception is everything. What does that mean? That means it doesn't matter what you meant. It matters how it was taken. Does that mean we were to cower down and let them run all over us? No way, no how. But you better find that middle ground. Find out what we are to do with our words, verbally and written down or typed in. Somebody in this house, you just need healing from past pain, things that were said to you. I can remember things that have been said to me, and if I wanted to think about it, I'd tell the story one time, we'll go to the altar. My wife, I driving down the road, and I just began to replay. I said, you remember when this person did this to us? And she went, you know better than that. Well, man, ain't nothing worse than getting preached to by your wife when you're hurting, bro. You know what I mean? I said, you're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up. She said, you know good and well, God used that to help you. You're right. You're right, baby. I'm sorry. Why don't you try that? Why don't you try stop talking about it? Stop bringing it up. When I was little, Mama did this to me. When I was little, Daddy never came to my basketball games, never went to my baseball games. Get over it. Stop talking about it. How dare you? Well, it's hard for me to forgive what they did. Well, then God's going to have a hard time forgiving you. Because if you can't forgive your brother, God will not forgive you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. No one looking around. Father, I thank you for what you have done in this service today. I know you're dealing with hearts. Oh, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to break up the fallow ground, our hearts and our lives. Oh, yes, Lord. Do it. Lord, if there's anyone in this house that's not saved, that's away from you, Lord, they feel your convicting work in this service, I ask you to draw them to you. You may be in here today and you're not saved, you're a backslider, maybe you've never been saved before, and you feel the dealing of God with your heart. You feel that uncomfortable feeling down deep in your soul. You know what that is? That's called Holy Ghost conviction. And the Bible said that no man can come unto God unless the Spirit of God draws that man. So what's happening to you right now, if that's happening to you, that's Holy Ghost conviction. God, the Holy Ghost, is drawing you because He loves you. He wants to save you. You can't get saved without this feeling that you're feeling right now. Don't turn Him away. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. You need to get saved. If there's one in this house, God sees this hand back here. Anyone else in this house? Anyone else in this house, you need to get saved. You need to give your life to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Others, I want you to come and find a place to kneel and pray. Stand up against the walls. We got altars. You can pray on the front pews, wherever you want to pray. But I want to ask you to come. The one that raised your hand, can you come? Let me pray with you. Ask the Lord to put a guard, a watch in front of your mouth. Your words are equivalent to pulling the trigger on a gun. Once you speak them, you can never get them back. Help us, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.